Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy, and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to know more about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Think for a moment about your prayer life. Could it be that your prayer life is characterized by constant babbling? Might it be that even the chatter of your mind is deafening? Could it be that your shallow askings drown out the sound of the very one whose voice you so long to hear? Have you ever considered how glorious the sounds of silence might be? Well, if not, I encourage you to develop the discipline of listening for the voice of God. Three times, God called out to Samuel, but Samuel didn't recognize his voice. It wasn't until God spoke the fourth time that Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." You know, the Bible never encourages us to stamp out the self as the Buddhists do. It does, however, exhort us to stamp out the selfishness. Genuine prayer is not found in our noisy askings and gettings. It's found in a growing relationship with the lover of our souls. All too often, we want God to move the fence post, to enlarge our houses, to enlarge our lands. But God wants something far better for us. He wants us to be still so that He can enlarge the territory of our hearts. Of course, He sent us 66 love letters, and they're etched in heavenly handwriting. And the more we meditate upon those words, the clearer His voice will resonate in the sounds of our silence. In fact, I've often said this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, that meditation is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. We want to have a dialogue with God, and we do that through His Word. We do that by listening in the sounds of silence. We do that ultimately by developing a relationship with the lover of our soul. I've written about that in a book that was on the bestseller list for 2 years in a row, back in 2001 and 2002, I believe. It's called The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. And if you don't have it, if you haven't read it, you can order on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up, Zachary. Zachary's in Oakland, Tennessee. Hi, Zachary.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Good.
That's nice talking to you.
Thank you. My question was, why do we have to pray to God if God already knows what we want?
Well, that's a good question, Zachary, and there's a couple of ways in which we can answer that. I think one thing that we should say is that we're going to pray because we are told that we should pray. So while our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we even ask Him, our prayers are in and of themselves, they're an acknowledgement that we are dependent on Him. So when you pray, Zachary, you're saying, "I am dependent on you, Lord." But you're also praying, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done," because God knows what is best for you. You don't know what's best for yourself. And so you always ask, "Lord, do it your way," because you just see this moment in time, Zach, but God sees the whole of your life. And so His answer is always the perfect answer. So first I would say that this is an acknowledgement of our dependency on God. And the second thing I would say, Zachary, is that prayer is not just about bringing our requests. It's about developing, as I mentioned in the opening of the broadcast, it's about developing a relationship with the lover of your soul. And so you ask because you are talking to God about all your needs, and in the process you're developing a relationship with the one who loves you and was willing to do the ultimate, which is to die so that you might have a relationship with him for time and for eternity. But think about it. If you take sort of a fatalistic look at things, you would say, you know, why wash my hands in the morning? If God wants them to be clean, they'll be clean whether I wash them or not. And certainly God could make them clean whether you take the effort to wash them or not. But you know that the work you do is divinely ordained by God. So God has ordained that what we do, the prayers we utter, produce results. And so we pray because God ordains not only the ends, but he also ordains the means. And this is something that I lay out in a simple way in the book that I just mentioned earlier. It's called The Prayer of Jesus. Hang on, let me send you a copy of that book and you can read and kind of digest it on your own.
Okay.
It'll be my gift to you.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, Zachary. There's sort of a theme here, and I want to expand on that for just a moment before we go back to our callers, because everyone wants to know the secret to something. Golfers want to know the secret to playing golf like Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson. Investors want to know the secret to making a fortune on Wall Street. Parents want to know the secret to raising healthy, happy kids. And Christians desperately want to know the secrets to effective prayer. So, what are those secrets to intimacy with God? I would say the first secret, if you will, to an effective prayer is secret prayer. That's exactly what it is. It's secret prayer. And of course, Jesus provided the ultimate example. As Dr. Luke puts it, he often withdrew to lonely places and there he prayed. Unlike religious leaders of the day, he didn't pray to be seen by men. He prayed because he treasured fellowship with his heavenly Father. Hypocrites, well, they gain their reward through public prayer. They might be perceived as spiritual giants, but by the time they're finished, they've received everything they'll ever get. Their prayer's worth nothing more. A further secret is to recognize the connection between prayer and meditation. I touched on that. Our prayers are only as inspired as our intake of the Bible. Scripture, therefore, feeds meditation, and meditation gives food to prayer. Meditating on the Bible allows us to more naturally transition into a marvelous time of meaningful prayer. And then one other secret, it is to discover your secret place. It's a place where you as an individual can drown out the static of the world. It's where you can hear the voice of your Heavenly Father. The issue, of course, is not location. It's motivation. We are all unique creations of God. And therefore, your secret place will no doubt be different than my secret place. The point is this. We all desperately need a place where we can get away from the invasive sounds of the world, where we can hear the sounds of another place and another voice, where we can develop a truly eternal perspective, where we can develop intimacy with the lover of our souls. Again, I wrote a book on this called The Prayer of Jesus. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Harris. Harris is listening in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hi, Harris.
Hi, Hank. My question is, do the peace symbols in any way have a connection to Satanism or the occult? You think it would pose a problem? Our youth ministry actually was going to use it on a bracelet that they were creating, talking about the peace of God. Is that something that we should do or not?
I don't think that's a problem. And the reason I don't think it's a problem is that just as words and phrases are not univocal, they're equivocal, the same thing I think is true about the peace symbol. People do not think about the peace symbol as being somehow or other occultic and therefore unbiblical. When they see it, they recognize it's an icon, it symbolizes peace, and now you're taking it to a point beyond the peace that the world can give, but the peace that passes all understanding that only the Lord can give.
Thank you, Hank.
I would say that the peace symbol conveys various messages, some of which radically oppose Christ and Christianity, but certainly in this sense, it would be a peace symbol used to underscore a particular kind of peace. Not the kind of peace that's false or fruitless, but a real peace, a lasting peace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the heart and ultimately will bring to the universe. In this world, we're not going to have perfect peace, but there is a time when there will be perfect peace, and that will be when this universe is restored. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right back with more answers to your questions in just a few moments, so please don't touch that dial.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joyce. She's in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Joyce.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay. I normally listen to you when I'm in the car, either coming home from work or just traveling around town. But I recently have lost a loved one, and I heard the young lady call in about the, I guess, the loneliness and the sorrow and the grief, and that is what I feel. And I do know the Lord, and I study His Word, but I don't seem to be, it's not healing. Maybe I'm rushing it, but what I called for is for some scriptures that I can read that will help me with this process. I know it's a process.
Yes. Who did you lose?
He was my boyfriend. We had planned to be married.
Yes, yes.
They diagnosed him with cancer in September, and he was gone in November. And it's just so hard. And,
yes.
I know that he was a believer. He did not fellowship in church. He always worked all the time. He always had to work. And I would always encourage him. He wouldn't turn me down. If we said we were going to go on this Sunday, he would go. And he was raised as a Catholic, and he had his last rites given. That's what he wanted. And I sometimes worry about where he is in terms of, will I see him again? And I know that he did pray to God, and I am taught that he hears our prayers if we ask for forgiveness and say that we believe that he is true to hear us. So because he did not, and we don't do all the right things, I find myself being a little eerie about where he is and
yes.
What, if anything. And I know that God is true to his word, and I sometimes feel that it's the enemy trying to take that away from me.
Yes. Well, Joyce, a couple of things. First of all, I want to give you three passages that you can focus in on, and then say to you that ultimately God is not going to turn anyone away who genuinely wanted a relationship with him, which is to say that all of us are born with the light of creation. As we look around, we know there has to be a God. This universe didn't just happen. The sun didn't come into existence in absolute perfect perspective with regard to relationship to the earth by chance. As we look at the heavens, we know there's a God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And then God has written the knowledge of himself on the tablet of our heart. So we have an outer light and an inner light. If we respond to that, God will give us more light. It's never the absence of knowledge that damns, it's the despising of knowledge that damns. But with respect to comfort for you specifically, I think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says this, "We do not grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." And why is that? We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So if your boyfriend fell asleep in him, we have the assurance in Scripture that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. The second Scripture that I'll point to is a Scripture that's been the balm of Gilead in my life over and over again. It's a passage that I memorized from Revelation. It's Revelation chapter 22. It's the very last chapter, the very last book of the Bible. And there the angel shows John the river of the water of life. It's as clear as crystal. It flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side of the river stands the tree of life bearing 12 crops of fruit. It yields its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are said to be for the healing of the nations. And then The Apostle John says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in that city, and his servants will serve him. They'll see his face. His name will be on their foreheads, and there'll be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. That's our hope, and that's our heritage. And a final passage, and this is a passage that I would really get into. In fact, I would commend you to memorize this passage. It's the beautiful Psalm 139, where the psalmist David says, O Lord, you searched me, you know me, you know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, you're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And then these words, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So you have this assurance that God has every detail of your life under control. And then I love how it starts to end, about the middle of it, where David says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. So nothing happens by chance or accident. God has our days ordered. He has a perfect plan for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose.
Yes. Oh, I thank you. I thank you.
Well, bless you.
I thank you for that.
Oh, you got it, Joyce. Bless you, and may the Lord give you grace and peace and comfort, and may he send his own servants, those that love him, to surround you and give you
and
comfort.
And he has.
Well, bless
you.
I thank him for that.
Thank you. He sent you. I listen a lot, and it seems daily someone will be talking about something that I have some questions about. So I know it's him.
Well, bless you, Joyce.
Thank you.
Our thoughts and prayers are with you. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to KC in Wyoming. Hi, KC.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I was listening to a sermon on the radio, and he was talking about Judas and how he was never really saved. He was, you know, right there with Jesus, you know, but he never was a true believer. Yeah, he said he believed, but he wasn't truly saved. And I started thinking, you know, God had a plan for us before he even made the earth and made the heavens and everything. And why would God go and... I know it's a choice of ours, but if he has a plan for us, why would he plan for people to have hardened hearts and be condemned to hell?
Well, remember that God creates the potential for evil. I didn't say that God created evil, but he did create the potential for evil. He did that by giving us the opportunity to choose to love and serve him or to choose to reject him. And without that kind of choice or the possibility of choice, love would be rendered meaningless. So God created a world in which love is meaningful. If the only way you can get someone to love you is coercion, then it's not love at all. So it has to be volitional. It has to be of the will. And you bring up Judas as a classic case in point. The fact that God knew what Judas would do does not mean that what Judas did was fatalistically determined. And we can see this in our own experience. We can know something that happened in our past. Let's say we know encyclopedic knowledge about a particular person, what they did in the past. The fact that we know what happened or what they did does not presuppose that we caused it. If you think about God, we don't know the future, but God knows not only what happened in the past, but also knows what will happen in the future. But that does not in any way necessitate, either philosophically or theologically, that he fatalistically determines it. But Judas is perhaps in the mind of Jesus when Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will inherit the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly," said Jesus, "'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Judas did not love the Lord. Judas loved what was on the Lord's table. And that makes all the difference in the world. He was there for what he could get. True disciples, true followers, true lovers of God are there because they love the Master rather than merely loving what the Master can give them. Much more could be said about that. I've written about this in various places, including my book, Resurrection, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We are out of time for this edition of the broadcast. Our contact information, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On the web, equip.org, via the phone, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for your support, for your prayers. We look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.